I think I mentioned this before, but what a blessing it is to study through the Word of God. One of the things that I really like about God's Word is so many, but is the ability to see how God reveals each book in the Bible as a whole, but each book as we go through it, such as Mark. And I think that as he reveals his Word, and it makes it so clear as time goes on, it's incredibly fascinating. What a blessing it is to be able to study his Word and to see how things are revealed or unravel as they go on. You know, years ago, my mentor, Daryl, said to me that it is amazing to get paid for what you love to do. And I'd have to agree, even though in a way it kind of feels wrong. But something else that is amazing is to love studying God's Word, but yet because of the spiritual warfare that goes on within, to struggle to get to the study. It's weird how that happens. It can be so difficult to get to the study, but when you reap the reward, you wonder, why the struggle? This morning we're going to see what happens next while Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd head to Jerusalem. And we are going to run into a man named Bartimaeus, and the contrast between his requests and the requests we looked at with James and John. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. As Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, he passes through Jericho. Now Jericho is a little city, a town about 17 miles outside of Jerusalem. Now this account with Bartimaeus is an interesting one, and I believe there are some good questions to be asked, like, why this encounter? Why didn't Jesus just go straight into the triumphal entry? I believe the main reason is that Jesus is still teaching his disciples. You remember when we were looking at the end of chapter 7, Jesus starts ministering to the Gentiles. Now, Jesus didn't come for the Gentiles. He came for the Jews. He came to his own. But he starts ministering to the Gentiles, and while he was ministering to the Gentiles, Jesus was spending a lot of time preparing and teaching his disciples. That was the main point of why Jesus went outside of the territory of Israel, of his people. Well, Jesus is still teaching his disciples as he's heading towards Jerusalem. Look, if you will, at verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples in great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Matthew and Luke record the same account, but neither of them records the beggar's name, nor do they mention his father's name. Why does Mark record their names? I believe it is to keep with his main purpose of writing the book of Mark, and that is to present Jesus as the perfect servant. And Jesus has been teaching the need of being humble to his disciples. Mark 9:33 through 37, Jesus asked what they were discussing on the road. And you remember they kind of didn't want to say anything. But what they were discussing is who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus says in verse 35, "Anyone who desires to be first, let him be last of all and servant of all." And of course, Mark chapter 10, we saw a couple weeks ago, verses 35 through 45, James and John ask to be seated one on the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom, a place of honor, a place of position. But Jesus said that the places that they were requesting were not for him to give. And then verse says in verse 44 and 45, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did Mark give the name of the beggar? To show the comparison, I believe, of James and John with Bartimaeus. Verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Verse 46, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Parallel. I said last time that it was likely that James and John were the cousins of Jesus, that Jesus' mother, Mary, was most likely the sister of James and John. James and John were also two out of the three that were closest to Jesus. They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. We will see later that they go further into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. They fall asleep. But they were two out of the three, Peter being the third, that Jesus spent most of his time with equipping. What do we know about Zebedee? Well, we know that he was the father of James and John, and we also know that he was an entrepreneur. He was a man who had some wealth. He had a fishing business. Well, who is Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus is a nobody. Bartimaeus is a blind man, and as a blind man, you are an outcast in the Jewish society, because anyone who was blind was cursed by God. Anyone who is cursed by God is an outcast by society. Well, what about his father, Timaeus? Well, we know less about Timaeus than we do Bartimaeus. Verses 47 and 48, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, Zebedee and his boys were somebody. Bartimaeus and his father were nobodies. Well, let's look at the comparison of James and John with Bartimaeus in this verse. What was Bartimaeus's acknowledgement of Jesus? Listen to how Luke records this event. Luke 18, verses 36 through 38. And hearing a multitude passing by, of course, he's hearing them, right? He's not seeing them. He asked what it meant. So they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why didn't he cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me? That's how the crowd described him. That was the title in which they gave him. You know, there isn't anything in the Bible that says what I'm about to say, but I think it's obvious. Jesus went around healing people in every town, and everyone knew who Jesus was and what he was doing. They said that actually he healed so many people in the surrounding districts that it was a prelude up to the kingdom, of what the kingdom would be like, and that is no more sickness, no death. Everyone's healthy. Bartimaeus, a good Jew, knew what the Bible taught about the Messiah. He knew and understood that Jesus was most likely the Christ. And so he calls out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic term. It's a title. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Isaiah 9:7, of course, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 11, verse 1 and verse 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jesse, of course, is the father of King David. So whose throne? Son of David? It's going to be the Davidic throne that they were looking for. He was the seed of David. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But what about James and John? Did they understand? Did they know that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah? And I kind of feel silly asking that question, because we already know that they did. Jesus asked in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter gave the answer, and while he gave the answer, who was standing nearby? James and John. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Did James and John know that he was the Messiah? Absolutely. And Christ is the Greek equivalent to the word Messiah, which is in Hebrew. Another reason why they understood, or James and John understood, that Jesus was the Messiah was their request. That I may sit, or that we may sit, one on your right and one on the left of your kingdom. Their Davidic, the Davidic kingdom. They understood who Jesus was. Verse 51, "So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you?" See, we have the contrast between John and James and Bartimaeus. They both understood who he was. And then the question Jesus asked was the same. Exactly the same. "What do you want me to do for you?" He asked this question to James and John in chapter 10, verse 36. "What do you want me to do for you?" And we know what the request of the brothers was. "Teacher, give us the best seats in the house." Of course, second to you. But we want the best seats in the house. We want two of the thrones that are on either side of you. Now listen to Bartimaeus' response. "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." You know, there's humility all throughout this request. Rabboni is only used twice in the New Testament referring to Jesus. Once here and the other with Mary Magdalene after the resurrection, after the empty tomb. John 20, verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is translated teacher. Rabboni does mean teacher, but the term carries something much greater than just teacher. It means master, my Lord. James and John did use the word teacher when asking their request, but a much lesser term. It doesn't hold the same significance as Rabboni. It doesn't hold that significance of my Lord or my master. Bartimaeus didn't ask for a position, just vision. "Lord, if only I could see." What I find so interesting about this, and maybe this is why Mark tells us about Bartimaeus, is because James, John, and the rest of the disciples were still blind. Let us look back at another one of Jesus' statements to his disciples. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, looking at verses 18 through 21. "Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Jesus was telling them that they were blind back in chapter 8, and the truth of the matter is they are still blind. And I believe Bartimaeus is just another object lesson. That Jesus was passing through Jericho, and a blind man on the side of the road crying out to him as he just finished talking and teaching his disciples. And he used Bartimaeus as an object lesson. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Another interesting fact in comparison between the three is James and John and the other disciples felt they deserved the seats in the kingdom, while Bartimaeus understood that receiving his sight would be an act of mercy. Bartimaeus didn't deserve his sight, nor was he under the delusion that Jesus was obligated to grant him his sight. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Unlike James and John, Bartimaeus was granted his request. He immediately received his sight. But his sight was really a byproduct. We look at this and we think this is it. This is the main issue. Bartimaeus receiving his sight was secondary to the real gift that Jesus gave him that day. The words "made well" really mean "saved you." Go your way, your faith has saved you. I said at the beginning of this morning's message, what a blessing it is to study through a book week to week and to be able to see how God is revealing His Word to us, and that it is incredibly fascinating. When Jesus finished His discussion with His disciples, He pointed out the fact in verse 45 that even the Son of Man, which is another translation or another term used for a messianic title, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus is on His way to be crucified, and along the way sees another, one who is an outcast by most in society, in need, and He stops and serves this outcast. The greater serving the lesser, the Creator serving the created. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. The other fascinating thing is in verse 45, that we see in verse 45, Jesus said, and to give His life a ransom for many. Bartimaeus just became part of that many. Jesus served and then saved Bartimaeus. I don't know about you, but this kind of discovering God's Word really excites me. I get thrilled to death. I love talking about God's Word anyway. I'll talk forever. I'll listen forever. I could go to a conference where there's teaching. I just want to talk about God and His Word. But this stuff just excites me when something just comes to light. But at the same time, it really convicts me. I have to ask myself an important question. Who am I more like? Am I more like Bartimaeus? Or am I more like James and John? Do I come to Jesus for position, power, or prestige because of who I think I am? Or do I come to Jesus in all humility knowing who I am? I remember when I was first saved, the church I went to always took requests at night. Night service was a little more relaxed. And they would have requests. So you would request the songs that you would want to hear or sing. And I always picked the song Amazing Grace because I was still in awe of God's love that was demonstrated through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He would send His only begotten Son to die in my place that I may have life. I knew where I came from, and as I said, I was in awe of His grace, His mercy. A matter of fact, I didn't even realize that I was asking for the song so much until a year or so later. It was actually my mentor's wife. He died of cancer at the age of 33. But she came up to me and she said, "Roger, do you remember when you used to always request the song Amazing Grace?" And the truth was, I didn't realize it. I guess I didn't get sick of it. It was a great song. Something else that stuck out to me when requesting a song, and that was when I requested the song, Just As I Am. How many of you know the song, Just As I Am? Everyone? Pretty much everyone? Well, at the time, I didn't realize that Billy Graham was famous for using this song at his crusades. And I'm sure there were others who did as well. But would use this song, and people accused him of trying to appeal to their emotions by having them come forward. So many in the congregation, as I requested, you know, only the first time, I believe, and I don't even know if I asked for the song again because I may have been embarrassed for whatever reason. But I saw their looks on their faith as, oh, here we go again. And they got sick of the song, Just As I Am. But the song really describes who we are. The song, Just As I Am, is a great song. As Christ's, have we become the religious, righteous, deserving of rewards? Or are we thankful for our salvation, seeking to serve our Savior and His saints? Let me ask that again. As Christ, have we become the religious, righteous, deserving of rewards? Or are we thankful for our salvation, seeking to serve our Savior and His saints? One sees themselves as deserving, while the other sees themselves as serving. Jesus, our Lord, was one who was serving. Let's pray.